Sam Panionovich, who follows wagering and sports wagering, to give me an update on the sports scene from the Vegas side of things, or whatever. No, not Vegas, from the wagering side.
From the world of wagering.
How are you, Sam?
I'm good. Guess what I did this morning? One of our favorite pastimes.
You took a shower?
That's one of your favorite pastimes?
No, it's not.
I shot hoops, man.
Oh, nice.
Still got it. They finally took the boards off of the rims
because
by my place.
The place by me has, they've done that. They take the rims off.
Well, they had to take the rims off by me because they put the boards up, but people were still going and shooting to learn how to rebound. That's what Rodman used to do when Rodman played for the Bulls. Have you ever heard the story?
Put a board up there, yeah.
Well, not a board. They used to put like this bubble on top of the rim, and Rodman would have people shoot, and it would hit this. It was sort of like a big rubber ball, but it's only cut in half, and it would bounce off the rubber ball, and he would learn where to position himself to grab the rebound. People were still going to the park to do that. Now the bubble, or the, not that the bubbles are gone. There weren't any bubbles. The boards are gone, so I can still, whoosh, still got it, man.
Yeah. Hitting from three-point land, are you?
Oh, I go deep.
I watched LeBron James hit a fadeaway three-pointer in the corner yesterday as he was being challenged, and he swished it, and it was a work of art, and it was also a magnificent piece of athleticism. Like, it was graceful, but it was like, that guy is strong because I can't get the ball that far anymore. I can't fade away in the corner and get it to the rim, let alone make it through the hoop. You know
what
I mean?
Do you still shoot your free throws like Rick Barry?
Between the legs, the granny shot, as it were.
My favorite court growing up, there was a court on the east side that had chain nets.
Yeah.
The sound of the chain net chunk is amazing.
Chunk.
Anyways.
By the way, Rick Barry was the NBA all-time leader in free throw shooting percentage doing his granny shot. I don't know that he still has that, but it was an effective way to put the ball in there.
Can you fill in this blank for me? The World Series favorites in Las Vegas right now. Yankees are first. Dodgers are second. Blank is third.
Really? The Cubs aren't? Okay, the Cubs are third.
Third. 12-1 right now.
Okay,
they're the best team in the game.
You're happy about that, right? They didn't start the season that way.
They started the season at 25-1, so their odds have been sliced in half. So if you bet 100 right now on the Cubs, and again, these are like gas stations. Some gas stations have, you know, 280. Some gas stations have 290. If you're in the loop, it's 320. So prices are different everywhere. But at most books, the consensus right now, the Chicago Cubs are 12-1 to win the whole enchilada.
And the Dodgers and the Yankees are what?
About 350, plus 350.
So that's 3.5-1, 3.5-1, and then 12-1.
That's a pretty nice climb.
What about the White Sox?
White Sox are about 16-1. They come and they go, but remember, there's liability on them because everybody bet them, like we talked about. So if they do win the World Series, a team that starts out at 60-1 and then goes to 50 and then 40 and then 30, there's a lot of liability built into that team. So if they win, folks are going to have to pay out all that money. They can't hire it, you know, they can't bring it back to those levels.
Even though it doesn't look like the White Sox are going to be as good as they started out.
Thing is, everybody makes the playoffs now, you know?
The Cubs are a fourth of the way through the season. They've missed a few games. The White Sox are a third of the way through the season. I don't know if I love that or hate that.
Cubs are 12-3.
Yeah.
12-3. I didn't see that coming. I thought it'd be a weird year. And the crazy part about their team is Bryant isn't hitting. Rizzo has been really good, and Baez has been sort of up and down. So if I would have told you that Chris Bryant would be hitting in the 100s and, you know, the bullpen would be a mess, you wouldn't think they'd be 12-3. And then the Sox are 10-9, two games back out of first.
Stat I saw that impressed me about the Cubs was that they lead the majors in late game scoring. When they finally get to that second reliever, they're lights out. They're the best team in baseball right now.
That sounds like a Dave Ennett stat.
Somebody drilled down and saw that. And it's nice to see the White Sox win a couple of games in a row. I don't know what their problem is. They weren't scoring when they needed to, and we've had some disastrous pitching performances.
Have you seen Eloy Jimenez? I love the kid. I think he's awesome. I think at some point he's going to hit 35, 40 home runs a year. He keeps running into the net.
I don't want him driving my Uber. I don't think he's going to be a gig worker anytime soon, but I'm not real confident in the wherewithal of our outfielders defensively. And Engel's great, but there are things out there that should not be happening.
The center fielder is incredible too, Luis Robert, and I think sometimes he's going to have to take over on balls to the gaps in left and right center. But there was a game last year when Eloy first started to get his, you know, I don't know, then they get his his landing down in the outfield, I guess. And there was a fly ball to left field in the bullpen. It ended up going over the wall. He ran full speed into the wall and collided and knocked himself out of the game.
And I think if you told him, hey, the wall's there, I don't think he would have slowed down.
There's a track! There's dirt!
You know what? The warning tracks should be deeper. What's the width of the warning track?
Oh, it's got to be 12 feet.
Okay, 12
Jinx.
Feet.
We did it again, Jinx.
That's what, one step, two steps? I mean, these guys are going very fast. If it was 25 feet, I think they would get a better feel for it.
There was a play last week or 2 weeks ago, too, where it was a slicing, diving line drive, and he tried to run in and sort of backhand it and catch it, and he missed it.
You're talking about Eloy.
He couldn't slow himself down. This is on the south side. So he's running toward the foul line, and then he couldn't slow himself down. Luckily, there's a net there, and he just sort of parachuted into this net and got his spike stuck, and he's like hanging in the air.
Yeah. Somebody posted a picture. It's essentially a meme. It shows the it shows Sox Park, and it shows the players in the field, and then they, with like a magic marker, drew the zones for each. Like, okay, the center fielder, Robert, you get this, and it's like 85% of the outfield. And then they carved out a little circle in the corner, and they say, Eloy, this is, balls in this area are yours. Everybody else, you cover.
I think that was Hoger. I think Hoge did that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny.
In fact, it was. Blackhawks.
I warned you about this one.
Okay, pick it up here in a minute. 312-981-7200 is the number if you want to jump in and say hello. It's not just sports when Sam walks into the studio. He also has what the money line is on the presidency, what the November election will shake out as, with Kamala Harris now being part of the Democrat ticket. It's 10:42. This just in on the New Zealand front. Hey, John, information on COVID in New Zealand. They've had an outbreak and now have returned to a partial lockdown. Another texter said New Zealand has just reported 13 community cases today. We've had 13 community cases in my building, but still, it's a place smaller than the United States. We looked it up. The population of New Zealand is about 5 million. We are 330 million, so if you multiply that by 60, you get to us. 60 times 13 is, well, you know what it is. I'm kind of busy right now. But in other words, they've had an outbreak in New Zealand. This just in.
780.
Look at how, 312 says, RE New Zealand, look at how their prime minister, government, and citizens handled the mass shootings there, or shooting. She is a real leader. There's your update on New Zealand. Sam Panionovich is in our studio. He follows sports wagering, and other wagering. I am intrigued by that, not because I'm into sports wagering, but because I think when people put their money on the line, you get a sense of where folks' confidence levels are. So you said in Vegas, it's the Yankees and the Dodgers 1 and 2, and the Cubs are now number 3. The White Sox have moved up, but they'll probably stay where they are. The Blackhawks, you said, it doesn't look good.
One Vegas book is saying it's already over. Given the price that you can walk up and bet, because these are all markets, and like I said, every book is different. So before the series started, the Westgate Superbook in Vegas, they had the Blackhawks at about 3-1 underdogs. That was after no games. That was before they even played a single game.
Yeah.
The Knights were already implied at 80% to win. After the first game, where the Hawks got pretty much manhandled, Westgate moved it up to Golden Knights minus 900, which means
mean?
You have to lay 900 to win 100 on the Knights, which essentially is saying it's over, nighty-night.
Well, what if I put 100 on the Blackhawks?
6-1 right now.
I'm sorry, I thought you just said 900-1.
Well, that's the juice. It's minus 900 on the Knights. It's plus 600 on the Blackhawks because you have to always, the favorite, it's more expensive for the favorite.
So
but
if
you
put $100 down on the Blackhawks, how much do I get if they win?
In Illinois, it's about 4-1. In Vegas, it's 6-1.
That's
right
all?
Now. That's it.
Well, then skip it. I'm not going to give them $100 because I don't think they're going to, it doesn't look good. Check with me tomorrow. If we bounce back today, if something bounces off of Taves'
leg. Well, guess what? The price will change, though, tomorrow. So you got to get ahead of the curve. So if you like the black, here's the thing. If they win tonight.
What if I do it very quickly after the game? Before they change the book?
After they go up 3-0?
Yeah.
Off the board. But that price will go from 6-1 in Vegas. If the Hawks can even the series up, then it's probably back to 3-1. Because in hockey, more than any other sport, the momentum after a single game is insane.
This is a 7-game series. How many games do you think the Blackhawks will win against the Golden Knights?
One.
Yeah.
And I think it might be tonight, because I think they're desperate tonight. They have to be more aggressive. Last game, they were very conservative. usually the Blackhawks are at their best when they're on the rush. Problem is, when you're on the rush, you got to get back. And they don't get back well enough. And when you don't get back, you get kicked.
You guys are really taking the joy out of this.
You want me to be honest or you want me to lie, Steve?
I think they're going to win all five.
I want you to lie.
All five? You got to win four.
Five of seven. We're going to be so good after the fourth game. They won't know what hit them, and we'll win another. Right.
They'll just give us games.
Stop. Here's another one.
It's the best of seven series, four to advance. Steve's got them winning five.
Yeah, yes. I think so. I'm going to stay with that.
Patrick Kane needs to score more goals, Steve. Did you talk to him?
Yeah, he knows. He's aware of that.
All right.
Actually, John Weideman said he is aware of that. Weideman, who would never say something bad about his Blackhawks because he works for the Blackhawks, he's an honest reporter, but he says, I'm a fan of Jonathan Kane. He said he's a generational player.
He is.
And yet he said, Weideman did yesterday, that Kane knows he needs to do better. I thought Kane had been having a good series. He was in the first round.
He's shooting the puck. He's taking the most shots in the postseason, 18 shots, only one goal. So people will say, what's wrong with him? Well, he's being defended by either two or three guys every time he's on the ice.
Does this frustrate you about Patrick Kane's game, though? He is the most patient puck handler in the world. He will be back and forth, back and forth. He'll be dribbling the puck, and sometimes I'm like, Patrick, do something with the damn thing. But he's dribbling, dribbling, dribbling. I'm like, pass or shoot. Sometimes it goes great. I mean, he's amazing, but if I was the defense, I would know this guy's just going to hold it, hold it, hold it.
He's so elusive.
Is.
You can't even touch
him. It's
a
joy to watch him do it, but sometimes I think it's counterproductive. That's all I'll say.
I could see your point, but sometimes he's trying to set up a defenseman who's coming in from the blue line.
Shoot the puck!
Yeah, well, that's the worst. Watching hockey, well, you don't watch it at bars anymore, but watching hockey in bars, especially playoff, like, shoot it! Like, they know. They're making millions of dollars.
In front of the guy, yeah.
They know what they're doing. Guy with a beer belly.
Why can't...
Shoot it!
But I thought, speaking of beer bellies, though, maybe this was to the Blackhawks' advantage in the first round, which is what I'm calling it. They said it was the play-in round. It's the postseason.
Which we said they'd win, by the way, remember?
I thought that the teams would be more out of shape. I think the Blackhawks were more in shape than Edmonton was. We seemed to be a little quicker than them, maybe because we are. But I thought some of the guys would come out with, you know, turkey sandwich stains on their jerseys.
Mustard on the chin.
What's that? You guys have an Italian beef while I was in Chicago waiting out to COVID. My jersey got dirty.
Somebody actually bet, just to go back to the betting, because that's why I'm here, right? Somebody walked into one of the casinos in Vegas before the Vegas and Chicago series started. Maybe this was you. Maybe it wasn't. I'm not sure. Somebody bet $71,000 on the Knights to win the series. Now, it only pays $20,000, but looking back, that's probably a pretty good bet. $71,000 risk to win $20,000. So if they do win the series, you walk in and they give you $91,000.
In that first round, though, against Edmonton, one of the games the Blackhawks won, you texted me that somebody bet $41,000 on that game.
On Edmonton.
For Edmonton
to win. And what did I say? I said, that's a bad bet. They're going to lose.
And they did lose that game. So I was agonizing over that.
Can you imagine having $40,000 on a hockey game?
That's what I said to my family, including Daisy, our dachshund. But they all said, if you've got $41,000 to lose on the game, you've got $41,000 to lose. There's no pain for that person like there is for you. If I lost $40 on that game, I would have been dragging for a week. $41,000. What are you doing? So you said you cannot bet on golf in Illinois.
There's a technicality in the state law. We've heard that before in this state. So technically, according to the bill that they passed and rushed through, Illinois sports betting requires competitors to receive compensation for participating in the event. And technically, in a golf match or a golf tournament, players that don't make the cut don't make any money and don't cover their expenses. So because of the way the law is written, you can't bet on golf tournaments anymore in Illinois. You could, but then they went back and said, oh, wait, you're not supposed to bet on golf. They claim that they're going to remedy it. But technically, because of the way the legislation is written, you can't bet on golf right now because the state says that you have to be paid for participation. And if you don't make the cut, you don't get a check.
What do the odds makers say about the presidential election?
I was actually stunned the way that it moved. Which way would you think the market would move after Biden announced that Kamala Harris would be the VP?
I think it would be in the Biden's Democrats' favor. Advantage.
Total opposite. So Biden was minus 165 to win the presidency before announcing the VP. Minus 165. So you had to lay 165 to win 100 on Biden. The day after he announced Kamala Harris, It went from 165 to 135. So 30 cents down. Money moving on Trump since announcing Kamala Harris.
So did Trump then similarly go up? It's more likely than...
Trump went from plus 145 to plus 105. So it's getting closer to the middle there. So you could have bet 100 on Trump to win 140. Now 100 wins 105. So money coming in currently on the president of the United States to...
still,
would you call that a repeat, I guess?
Still, yeah. But still, the advantages to Biden.
Not as it was, though. Yeah,
not
he's still
much.
The favorite. He's still the favorite, but... the price was 165, so that implies 62%, and now it's 135, which implies 56%.
Okay, 56%, and what did they say then the advantages to Donald Trump? Is it 44%? Then?
Well, plus 105 implies 48%.
48%, mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's getting close,
yeah.
And you know how I feel about the debates. Oh, are we in for a treat if those happen? That's going to be something.
I do.
I'm not happy about it, but that would be, oh.
I was talking to somebody about that, and maybe the needle would move one way or another based on the performance of a debate or any tweet or event in the news. But I do think that I can already imagine what the Trump-Biden debate would be like. But the Kamala Harris-Mike Pence, whoever thought that a vice presidential debate would be must-see TV. But I think that will be the more consequential of the two in a weird sort of way, maybe the more riveting of the two. So I'm, and maybe the more painful of the two. I don't want to watch any of these debates. I wish there were no debates. I don't find those things fruitful. I'm glad there won't be live studio audiences cheering them on. But I think that's the one that people will be watching more intently based on where we are today.
Right. And these things will change. Again, it's a fluid market. If Trump does something stupid, which is very possible, Biden will get the money and it'll go back up. But currently, Biden went down in the betting markets. So he was a 165 favorite, now 135. Still favored, but money over the last couple of days coming in on the president.
I've got less than a minute left. So the Bears are they're still betting on the NFL.
Eight wins, over under. Eight wins. What do you got?
16-game season?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play 16?
Yes, sir.
Eight? You've got I could make money on that?
That's a number. Eight. I think they're undervalued.
Under. I say under.
Oh, okay. All right.
You like them over?
I think they're 8-8, 9-7. But again, when everybody thinks the Bears are going to be good, they suck. When everybody thinks they're going to suck, they're okay. I like over eight.
How about this? Are they going to play or are they not going to play?
They'll play the NFL. That? There is a college football bet. This is an offshore bet. I'll make it quick. Will there be any Power 5 college football games this year? Yes or no?
Rokan was chuckling yesterday. He said, of course there will be. It's the SEC.
Oh, you think Alabama's not going to play? There will be riots.
I'll defer to Mr. Khan. I say yes, there will be a Power 5 conference.
Yes is favored. Minus 200. 200 to 100. I agree. They will play in the South.
They don't care.
What else is there to do?
They got no COVID down here. And if we do, we'll just hit it harder. All right. Nice to see you, Sam.
See you, bud.
Panionovich.